Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 246. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. We usually have a bunch of guys on the show bringing a bunch of apps, but every once in a while we like to mix it up and throw a developer your way because we love chatting with developers. They are the people that are changing the world right now in, I think, the biggest way possible. Apps they don't control our lives. They add so much to our lives, and the developers are the guys that make the apps. So we love talking to developers. We have a very special one on today, but first let me introduce the co-hosts, and then we'll get into it. Starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Hey, Steve. I'm excited to have, A, more developers on, but B, to just be having another week's worth of shows coming.
Me too, man. It's always good. I agree. This is a fun show to do. It really is. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Hey, I'm glad to be here. And I got to say, I was shocked last week when Dor said we've surpassed 2,600 applications reviewed on this show. That was a big number to me for some reason.
It's one of those things you don't pay attention to it for a while, and then we ask Dor what it is, and we all get blown away. So hopefully, out of that number, people could get one or two good ones.
Yeah, I read an article today that they said that people use, I think it was 17 apps typically.
On average?
Yeah, on average. That they regularly use is 17 apps. And basically, once you get those 17 apps installed, your phone is customized the way you want it. But I think as you change interests or seasons even, I can't do that. There's apps that I don't use in the winter that I do use in the summer and vice versa.
Huh, that is interesting. I actually didn't know. Eric, what?
Speaking of seasonal apps.
Ah, sorry. Are you talking about our app for today and our developer? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I am very happy to have on the show Matt Kruger from Regisoftware, LLC. He is the creator of the UDisc Disc Golf app, which I'm sure Eric just loves. What's going on, Matt?
Pretty good. Not a whole lot. Just got done playing League, and I finally won, so I'm feeling pretty good today.
Damn, man. I have to say, okay, disc golf is a thing on our show, started by Eric. I've never played it. Dor, have you ever played disc golf?
In my dreams, maybe, but not really.
Dor has never played it. Eric has, but I really want to, actually. It sounds like a ton of fun. So tell us, how did you get involved with this app, and why did you make a disc golf app?
Well, it actually has quite a long story, so I'll try to keep it brief.
That's all right. No, we like stories here.
All right. So I went to school at Iowa State University down in Ames, and I actually happened to live right across the street from a disc golf course, and I had a few buddies that they would go just about every day after class, and so, of course, I started to tag along with them, and it's one of those things where you just become really addicted to it. You can't really stop after a while, and it's great. It's exercise. You get to walk around, throw frisbees, and it's just a lot of fun with your friends. Once I got done with college, I moved back to Minneapolis, and I found that there weren't any mobile apps really out there at all to find courses. And I just happened to live in a city where I think we have the third most courses of any state, Minnesota does. So I think it goes California, Texas, then Minnesota.
Wow.
We would always, on the weekends, our friends, we would try to go play a new course every weekend. Got to the point where we'd be, 45 minutes from home, and we'd have no idea where the next course was. And I looked at all the options that were available at the time, and there just wasn't anything good. So I wanted to make an app to find courses, and that's how it all started.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How many courses are there?
In the UDisc directory, there's about 5,500 across the world, I think. No, I don't really know if there's an official number out there, but I think that it's somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 courses in the world.
Is it your goal to get them all in there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, one of the main reasons that UDisc has been so successful is because from the beginning, I tried to make it as easy as possible to contribute to the directory.
Smart move.
And so, it started off with just Minnesota, and there was about, I think we have 250 courses in the state. And then I went from there. I started doing other states, and then I started to crowdsource it, and then now it's worldwide. So I've got, I don't even know, probably 40 or 50 countries with courses in them. The heaviest concentrations are the U.S., Canada, and then Finland, Sweden, and Scandinavia.
So this game is played in cold regions, I guess, mainly.
Well, you know, Texas and California are the two biggest, but in the Midwest here, you know, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, we all have a lot of courses, and we don't play so much in the winter, but I think it's one of those things where in the Midwest we really take advantage of our summers more than a lot of other places do since they're short. So, you know, a lot of courses, and we have a lot of parks in Minnesota, and, you know, it's pretty easy to put in a few baskets in a park if you've got the space. Damn. I think that's probably why there's so many.
I see. Eric, well, you probably have the most in common with Matt here. Do you have any questions for him?
I do have a comment that I'd like to say. I submitted one of the courses. We have two in my town, and one of them wasn't on his app because it's a fairly new course. It was, I think, maybe a year or two old when I submitted it. And he has made it extremely easy to submit a course. It's I didn't go in and do all the measurements and things of each hole yet or anything like that. But it makes it nice. I mean, and then now everybody else can find it because we actually had a world record set. A Guinness Book of World Records set here in, I think it was in May, of how many of a certain amount of holes played in 24 hours. And that was literally a block down the street from my house where that was done. That was really cool. These guys were pretty tired at the end, but they had like a lighting crew and stuff all night, and they had judges there, you know, keeping track of it. And
that's awesome. Did you watch them?
I visited a couple times. Yeah.
How many holes did they play again?
They played 16, over 1,600 holes in 18 hours, and they were pretty tired by the end of it. I mean, they didn't pick. I mean, it's not a flat land course. There's a lot of hills to it, but it's very compact and small. I can see why they picked it, but a lot of up and down, you know, hills.
I could just see Matt going, "That's nothing." He's probably played that many holes in one night.
Well, no, I don't mean to upstage you, but somebody in Minnesota broke that record pretty recently. No, it's one of those records that I'm not quite sure how they measure it, because you can't really, just saying number of holes played doesn't really mean anything. It's really about how far you walked. So I'm still not sure why people, it's been like a frenzy the last few years that people want to keep breaking this record, but it's not really standardized in any way. So I'm kind of concerned that, you know, you can pick the shortest course possible and get in 2,000 holes, but does that really mean anything compared to 1,600?
Right.
Or what about playing the same hole over and over, right?
Yeah, I think that there's some rules about you have to play consecutive holes or something like that, gotcha. So you can't just stand at a 100-foot hole and throw, you know, 1,000 discs at it and call that 1,000 holes.
And actually, there was a couple people from his own disc golf club that were going to come up here and try to beat him. So it is a moving target, and a lot of people are trying to do it. But it was neat. They were doing a raffle. They had they brought their own disc net and let, you know, paid like a couple bucks and you could throw some in there and then you could win prizes. And then they had a raffle, and I ended up winning a towel and a new disc. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome, Eric.
But I've never used your app to its full potential. I didn't realize that you could keep score on it and everything. Could you kind of give some what all is included in the app?
Sure. So as I said, the very first feature was just a course finder to allow you to pan and zoom on a map of the world to find courses and get directions to them. The most major feature, I would say, is the scorecard. So you can create a scorecard for any course in the directory, or you can use a custom course that you enter personally. So that's kind of more for like a temporary course that you set up in your backyard or something. The scorecard is fully featured. It has ability to track penalty strokes and putts, in addition to as many players as you want. The other features besides that, you can measure throws using GPS. It's fairly accurate. You know, it's as accurate as a smartphone can be. I've seen some Android phones get down to about 10, plus or minus 10 feet. So it at least gives you a pretty good idea for how far you can throw. Beyond that, you just can... you can create course maps actually within the app. So you can use this. It's a map-based editor, so you can kind of drop pins on the map and then position them in such a way that it represents how the hole looks. And then people submit those, I approve them, and then you can actually figure out how far you are away from the hole at any given point once the course is mapped, since you know where the basket is. Besides that, I could go on forever. It's really, really fully featured. You can also store all the discs that you have in your bag. You can take photos of them. You can associate them to throws. So let's say you go out in the field and you're doing field work, and you want to keep track of how far you're throwing each disc. You can actually associate the throw to a disc so that you can go look at averages over time, you know, your best throw ever, or, you know, your best throws for a certain disc, things like that. It's got a whole bunch of graphing and statistics. So basically any data that the app is tracking, you can probably find a graph to represent that data in another way besides just a textual format. What am I missing here? Well, as I said, there's a lot it can do. How in-depth do you guys want me to get?
No, I mean, sounds like you have disc golf covered completely with this.
Yeah, there's a couple things I still have up my sleeve here that I haven't really talked about yet, but I'm going.
Do you have any competitors in this arena, app-wise?
Yeah, certainly. You know, I wasn't the first player in the game here, but I've quickly gotten to the point where I think that people are kind of trying to do the same sorts of features that I've been doing lately. There's a couple apps that have been around for longer. Most of them were... So let me back up a little bit. The reason that UDisc has all the features that it has is because I couldn't find any other app that had everything in it. There were some apps for scorecards. There were some apps for finding courses. There were some apps for measuring things. But I wanted to put them all together into one app. So there, you know, to my knowledge, there's nothing else out there that has even half the features that are all in one place here.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I definitely don't use this app as much as I should, because the course that I typically play on, I don't even it's a really short course. You know, it's the one right down the street, and I don't even keep track of what their pars are on the holes. I just do par three for everything. and just base myself off of that.
No wonder your score is so good. Jeez.
That's a pretty common method, actually. A lot of people play everything as par three just to make the scoring easier. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, that's one of the most interesting complaints I get from people sometimes is, you know, why do... So in UDisc, all the holes default to par three, and then if you want to change it, you can, and it will save it. It'll save it for you in the app if you change it. But, you know, people will complain, you know, why is this a par three? It should be a par four. And, you know, the answer is always that, well, you know, par, it doesn't really matter when it comes down to it. It's really about how many total strokes it took you to get the disc into the basket, just like with ball golf. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. So all that really matters is how many total strokes you threw in the round.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck trying to explain that to them.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's like people on our show telling us we need to say the name of the app at the end when we're talking about it. It's going to keep coming at you. What were you going to say, Eric?
Well, there's another course that's close to here. It's called Sinisippi, and it's an old course. It's been around for a long time, and that's where it would be nice to know how far you threw each disc. That's something on my normal course I would never need to worry about, because I don't even change discs. Usually I just use a mid-range the whole time I'm on there. I don't even change to a putter. But that with Sinisippi, there's some holes where you don't see the basket, you know, from the tee off, and that's definitely that would be nice to know sometimes, especially if you're not there every day, to remember how far you threw it or what you used, and then to track that. That's great.
Dora, what would you like to say to Matt or ask him?
Well, first off, I want to thank him for this app. I am not a fellow that participates in much physical activities, but this is honestly, this to me is the perfect blend activity of fun and exercise. So I'm really trying to find ways that I can do it. The closest one is like a half an hour from my house, which is a little bit for our area, a little bit further than I expected it to be. I don't expect you to give away details if this is something you don't want to talk about, but I'm going to ask, are you looking at incorporating some type of Android Wear type features or abilities to your application in the future?
It's funny that you ask, because I'm wearing my Android Wear watch right now.
Wow. Which one do you have?
I have the LG G Watch.
Ooh.
I kind of wanted a Moto 360. I got this right when it came out, and it was the only choice.
No, it's good. It's good. I wish we had one on the show we could give away. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So actually, I've been playing with the Android Wear developer preview for a few months now. I just haven't quite had as much time to dedicate to it as I would have liked to. But it for this winter, when I have more time and there's snow on the ground, that is absolutely my top priority is to, I don't quite know if it's possible yet, but my goal is to try to be able to control the scorecard from the watch.
Yeah, oh, that's what I'm, sweet. That's what my logic is thinking, is if the GPS has the course mapped out, if there is a sensor in the watch that can tell if you just threw the device, the arm whipping action, you could count the number of throws and you could tell where it's at on the course and automatically map out your previous game. That's the kind of thing that, to be honest, I think could make the diehards giddy about getting an Android device.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've got a lot of ideas related to, well, I don't want to give them all away, but
don't.
Basically what you said with, you know, having it on your wrist and being able to use some of the accelerometer to do things. The first thing I'm going to do though is simply just allowing you to, you know, enter scores through the UI on the phone, or sorry, on the watch. So I've already got a prototype of that going. I just haven't quite gotten it to the point where I can release it. I've got, you know, as a typical developer, I've got, you know, like 10 or 12 different features I'm working on at the same time, and I sort of prioritize them based on what I think people want the most. And, you know, the watch stuff is really cool, but at the same time, there's still so many new watches that are coming out in the next few months that I kind of want to wait until the hardware gets a little better, because, you know, like the G-Watch, it's pretty cool, but there's a lot of room for improvement. There's going to be, you know, more sensors, longer battery, better screen, some things like that are going to really impact, you know, what I choose to do in the future here.
You gave a little review of the G-Watch there. Could you tell me, like, what kind of battery life you get? And is a Android Wear thing now going to be a part of your arm forever?
You know, I'm actually surprised. I hadn't worn a watch for about 2 years until I got this thing, and now I find myself feeling naked, you know, when it's dead and I don't put it on.
Huh. No, it's one of those things.
As far as the battery goes, it lasts definitely more than a day. So, you know, I use it quite a bit, and it goes more than a full day. So I usually find myself having to charge it every day and a half, which is, you know, kind of a little bit awkward. I'd like to charge it every day, but one big complaint I have is that you have to put it in the charging cradle. There's not a USB port on it. And so I only have one charging cradle, and of course I could buy another one, but, you know, do you really want to go buying, you know, all these $50 cradles for a watch that you might replace in 6 months or something?
Yeah.
Well, you think an inductive charging mat would be just like a no-brainer for those kind of things. Just lay it on there next to your bed and wake up in the morning fully charged. But
I might have to get one of them. Hey, I wanted to ask you, do you do this? Have you done this app completely for fun and love of the game, or do you have monetization built in, or do you plan on monetizing it?
Well, so for Android, there's actually two versions. There's a free version of UDisc, and then there's a paid version, which is $3.99 right now. Cool. The free version it's fully featured, except that the scorecard and the throw measurer, they allow you to do 5 of each of those things before it asks you to purchase it. Every other feature works, so you can still find courses, you can still look at course maps, you can still get directions. It's just that, you know, if you're a hardcore disker and you really want to, you know, break down your statistics and have the ability to track averages over time and things like that, you know, I have to fund my activities somehow, because I'm just a one-man team doing this here.
That's so awesome, though. I love that. And how's the revenue coming in on that? Are people paying for it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's been exceeding my expectations more than I ever thought.
Wow.
You know,
cool. So go buy 2 more cradles for your watch.
Yeah, you know. Here, the problem is that I've had to buy so many Android phones. I've got 12 or 13 phones at this point.
What?
And they're not cheap.
Wow. If you ever want to give any away on our show, we'll arrange some giveaways.
Well, I've got some old ones I don't need, but I don't know if anybody wants.
Yes. Send them to us. We'll promote you every time we give one away.
We'll have an OG droid.
I'll take it. I did want to say, you should make the free version all par threes, and then the paid version has all the real pars in it.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about things like that.
If that's the biggest complaint, then, you know, that's what people want to pay for. I'm just kidding.
So
there's a lot of things I'd like to do, and I really do see this app moving kind of towards the freemium route in the in the future, where, you know, it's free, and then there's in-app purchases to get certain features. But we'll see how that goes. You know, my goal is not really to make money on this thing. It's always been about my love of the sport, and really it all started off as me wanting to learn how to make Android apps. And so I, you know, I took, I work for, I'm a software engineer for my day job at a completely unrelated thing. And I was fortunate enough to be able to attend some Android sessions, and I really got interested in it. And I'd always had this idea to make this app, and that's really where it all came from.
Right. Well, awesome. Matt, I will say that's really, honestly, I feel you. I understand you. It's very honorable for you to say that. I will just say, make sure you always allow avenues to where people can give you money for your work, because this is work you're doing. This is genuine work you're doing. And there are many people out there, trust me, when they download this app and they use this app, they're going to be like, this is the app that I need. And they're going to want to support you. My logic is, most of the time I pay for an app, it's not because I want to pay for an app. It's because I want to encourage the developer to keep moving forward, keep doing stuff. I appreciate what you did. It looks good. It works good. Keep moving forward. Keep doing stuff.
Well, thanks. That's very nice of you to say. I wish that everybody thought like that. Yeah, one thing that's very surprising, you know, when I first started doing this, it's been about 3 years now, but, you know, people, I don't know exactly how to say it, but something costs 99 cents and it doesn't work, and it's like it's the end of the world. But you go to McDonald's and get, you know, a pop for a dollar, and you never think twice about it. That's, you know, true. And it's gone in 10 minutes.
Right. So
it's one of those things that, you know, people that aren't developers, sometimes it's a little hard to really understand the amount of effort that goes into, you know, testing and all the devices you have to buy and all the, you know, skills you have to learn and get good at. And, you know, it's really nice to hear those words sometimes.
Yeah, I could understand that totally. The whole customer service part.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that part too.
Yeah. One man show.
Yep. So it's going to become a two man show pretty soon, actually.
Ah, nice. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to taking this app back to the course that I put on the map, and I'd like to go through it. What's the process like to map out a course? If say, do you stand on the pad and hit a button, say this is where the pad is, and then when you get up to the basket, that's you hit another button?
Yep, basically. So, you know, some courses, if there's not a lot of trees, you can actually see the tee pads and the baskets from the satellite map. So some of those courses you can actually do without being there. But wow. the typical flow would be that you're at the course, you're standing on the tee, and then you hit the button to drop the tee right where you are. And then there's another button on the tee where you can say center on my current location. And so it'll move the tee to where you're standing, and then you walk to the basket and do the same thing. And if there are any dog legs, and for those of you that aren't aware what a dog leg is, basically just like a turn or a bend in the hole. So like if you have to go around some trees and that's the route the disc has to take, you can drop a dog leg right there. So you might end up with a hole that, you know, goes from the tee to a point and then turns to the basket. And you can have unlimited dog legs, so you could actually make, you know, like a circle if you wanted to. And it'll draw a line to connect all of them for each hole. And then you move on to the next hole and repeat that process till you finish the course.
I've got a new goal. Before the summer's over, I'm going to map the two in my town and then Sinisippi Park that's across the river. If that one's not already mapped, it may be, because that's always been a professional course, that one.
The Sinisippi one was, what was the other one called? I can check.
I've got Nims and Joshua Park. Nims Park and Joshua Park.
Okay, let me look. Nims Park.
But the, when I used to be a department manager at Walmart for my first job, I brought disc golfs into a Walmart, and they, I think it might have been the first Walmart with disc golfs for sale, or discs for sale.
Oh, discs for sale.
Yeah, we did. It was so long ago they didn't even have UPC tags. We had like pricing guns back then. That's old school Walmart there.
Jeez, man, that's going back.
Yeah, so I checked and it looks like Sinisippi is not mapped yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure NIMS is either, but so one point to make. So I said there's about 5,500 courses in my directory. The course mapper for Android just became available. I think it was around the first of the year, and users have already submitted more than 2,000 courses for course maps. So 2,000 out of the 5,500 are already mapped just in, 8 months. So it's been quite a lot of data to keep up with, but it's really awesome to see people using it.
Yeah, man, you've got to get a kick out of that. It's got to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I actually had to make myself a separate app to manage all the data that's being submitted. So I have kind of this custom app that I use to, vet all the submissions, and I can actually view the course maps. I can edit them. I can view course submissions and edit the data and all that. It's been very helpful to me. Otherwise, yeah, I'm spending way too much time on, you know, writing SQL queries and stuff. To
It's so cool that you made an app to manage your app.
That's yeah, you know, it was one of those things where I found myself spending, you know, an inordinate amount of time every week approving data, and I had to find a way to streamline it or I was going to go crazy.
That's super cool.
The mapping part, though, that can be so useful because, you know, I'm sure you've been to them also, Matt, where it's not obvious where you need to throw this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, disc golf courses don't quite have as much money as ball golf courses, so they don't all have tee signs and they don't all have, you know, hole numbers on each tee pad. So if you've never been to the course before, you might just be walking around in the woods throwing at random baskets that you see. You have no idea where you're actually supposed to go.
Yep, I've been there.
Yeah, that was the thought behind that.
Awesome. One
other cool thing I did with the maps is on Android you can do this thing called course flyover. So if the course is mapped, you can actually view a flyover of the course where it'll go hole by hole. I'm not sure how I can show you guys here. Obviously, the listeners can't see it. I don't know if I can hold this up and show you guys. It probably won't work.
I was watching that in the video you have on Play.
Yeah, exactly. It's the video on the Play Store, but it'll basically go hole by hole. And show you, you know, kind of a flyover of what the layout of the course looks like so that you can get a feel for it.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
That makes the app look so awesome.
How the baskets stick up in that. That is so neat.
Yeah, I had to do some 3D stuff to get that to work. But I got to say, the Google Maps API is really nice. I really like playing with it. That's really what made me fall in love with Android, I guess, in general. Just the Google Maps API is really clean and nice and easy to use, and it allows me to do things like this, whereas on some other platforms that I've programmed for, I actually don't have this feature because it would have taken me, you know, way too long, and it just wouldn't have looked as nice.
Yeah. Huh. Now, that makes it look so pro. I love it.
Thanks. Yeah, I spent a good portion of my winter break on that.
Oh, man. It's all paying off.
Yeah, it's been quite nice.
Very cool. Any other questions for Matt before we end off? Matt, anything that you wanted to say before we end off the show?
The UDisc really wouldn't be anything without all the users out there. So thanks to everybody for using the app and all the positive feedback I've been getting. You know, sometimes being a developer is a thankless job, but sometimes it's really awesome. And every once in a while I get someone that says, you know, this is the best app I have on my phone. And that kind of stuff is really what keeps me going. So thanks, everybody, for sending a nice message once in a while.
Oh, yeah, totally. And thank you for coming on, Matt. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, you too.
No problem. Anybody who is listening, go check out UDisc Disc Golf App, Regis Software, LLC. If you play disc golf, I don't see how you could actually function without this. All right, that's going to be it for Android App Addicts for this week. Talk to you guys next time.